Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:34 p.m. on Friday, April 5th, 2024. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Dylan Williams from the Juno LAO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, Senator Kaufman, Senator Giesel is absent, Senator Kia, my vice chair, and myself, Senator Klayman, will have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is Senate Bill 134, Insurance Data Security Information Security Program, sponsored by Senator Kaufman. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we have a proposed committee substitute in front of us. The changes made in the committee substitute were made by the request of the bill sponsor. Here to provide an explanation of the changes for the committee substitute is the Senate Judiciary Committee aide, Brianna Kakarik. Ms. Kakarik, if you could please come forward, put yourself on the record, and begin your explanation of the changes.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Brianna Kakarik, and I'm staff to Senator Klayman. Senate Bill 134, Bill Version S to Version R. There have been structural changes. All sections of the bill moved from AS-2196 to AS-2123. The Legal Services Division felt that the topic of the bill would fit better under risk management in Alaska statute. And throughout the bill, changes all there's been changes to references of 72 hours to 3 business days instead. And then there are changes on the following lines in Section 1. Page 1, lines 7 through 14, adds a new section, Purpose and Construction, establishing an exclusivity standard. Page 2, line 1 through 5, adds clarifying language regarding the scope of the risk assessment. Page 4, lines 1 through 4, adds clarifying language to ensure due diligence of licensees when using externally developed applications. Page 5, lines 2 through 9, adds clarifying language regarding access to encrypted non-public information. Page 8, line 8 through 10, changes law enforcement official to be exclusively of federal law enforcement. There were concerns that law enforcement would be too broad. Page 8, lines 25 to 26, adds clarifying language regarding notification to the director of by licensees. Page 10, lines 27 through 29, provides reporting requirements, requirement exemptions for assuming insurers with exceptions. Page 11, line 9 through 23, clarifies reporting requirements regarding insurers and insurance producers. Page 14 through 16, clarifies some definitions. Of note is the definition of non-public information is expanded upon. Thank you.
Questions from members of the committee? Hearing and seeing none.
Oh, I do have a question.
Senator Keel, I figure Senator Kaufman doesn't have any questions because it's his committee substitute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me find my notes. Ms. Kakarik, or to whomever can answer the question, on page 4, I think this is about... the change is about third-party applications. And if memory serves, it used to be that you had to have practices or processes for evaluating, for assessing, and also for testing. I think we've gone down only to testing. Can we just get a little explanation of why that change?
Thank you. Through the chair to Senator Keel, I'm going to ask if we can bring Director Winghire up as we start to get into some of the specifics. But many of these changes, just speaking broadly about the changes to the bill, were just about the practical implementation of it, so both kind of tightening it, but where it was tightenable, to use that phrase, and then also looking at where we had to tip the hat to the realities of the marketplace and how things are done, how contractors are managed through contracts. So with that, and for perhaps more specific detail, I'd like to tip my hat to Director Winghire.
Ms. Winghire, welcome. I advise my committee aide that if they got detailed questions, you would probably get called in, so we're glad you're here.
For the record, my name is Lori Wing-Heyer. I'm the director of the Division of Insurance for the state of Alaska. And through the chair to Senator Keel's question, this one in particular was a compromise with industry. They wanted us, the original language probably was a bit tighter. They wanted, I believe that what they wanted for the language was to safeguard. And we did not feel that safeguard, in talking with Senator Kaufman and staff, that it provided much more than they were looking, holding the material, that they weren't testing it, they weren't doing any risk assessment on it. We did agree to eliminate the first two words, and I'd have to look back to what they were. I just remember that we agreed to go to testing, thinking that if you tested, then you had to have procedures before that, processes before that, before you would test, but we would not agree on the word safeguard.
For me.
Senator Keel.
Can I try and say that in another way and see if I've got it right?
On this, you don't need to ask permission. I'm the chair on this exchange because it's fairly detailed and just stay with your focus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate that. So the language here requires testing. You have to assess and evaluate the thing to know what you're going to test. Is that what we're getting at here?
Through the chair, that was our logic, is that testing would be the stronger of the words that were originally in the sentence and still give us pretty good protection.
Thank you. On a different section, someone walk on page 10? There are changes to H. So I think at the bottom of the page, it's lines 27 through 29. And I tried to get through the assuming insurer versus the ceding insurer, and I got lost. Could someone just walk me through what we're doing here for a simple mind?
Through the chair to Senator Keel, an assuming insurer would be maybe perhaps a fronting company. Let's say that there was a huge risk in Alaska that, and I'm talking a property risk at this point, and they wanted an Alaska insurer. But they went to Alaska National and UMALIC, just a story here, and they said, we can't put up those limits. But another insurer would quote a share, and they would be the assuming insurer, and the paper would look almost like reinsurance, but if you will, opposite. The paper you'd see would be Alaska National would be behind it. You'd have National Indemnity or a larger company in front, assuming the majority of the risk. So we see that frequently in commercial transactions. We do not see it in personal, but we would see where one insurer would assume the risks of another, allowing the other to have the name up front, but who's really actually holding the paper might be the smaller.
Okay, and so the assuming insurer then does not have the notice obligations with this change.
That's correct. The insurer who's actually holding the risk would have the notice to the division.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
So just for clarity on that, that means if the policy says Alaska National and it's a different insurance company like the one you mentioned, that's actually the party in the first position for covering insurance. It's the party that's actually sitting ahead, the assuming carrier that's in front of Alaska National, and the example you give that's actually the one that has notified the division?
Correct.
And the last one I had questions on is on page 11, and the exemptions in K, and I wasn't entirely clear, it's lines 18 through 23. I wasn't entirely clear why we need the first exemption, if the producer can't contract, sell, solicit, or negotiate on behalf of an insurer, why do we need to exempt the insurer from notifying them if they can't do business with them? Or am I misreading?
I'm reading back up to Jay real quick to figure out exactly what we meant here. So in this example, let's assume it's a State Farm, through the chair, to Senator Keel. And State Farm, as the insurer, shall notify an insurance producer, the local agent, if you will, of the breach, because maybe they don't know. If you're a captive agent, a State Farm or an Allstate, a Geico, you use their computer systems. They're not your own. So they would notify you that there had been a cybersecurity event, or they thought there had been a cybersecurity event. Now we get to K, and what K is saying is that the insurer is exempt from notifying the insurance producer if the producer is not authorized to, by law or contract, to sell, solicit, or negotiate on behalf of the insurer. So you could have in, within an agency, you could have, and this is very common in Alaska, where Allstate also allows you to represent other carriers. So if I were sitting in an office and I was licensed by Allstate, but yes, let me get this right. If I was licensed by Allstate, not licensed by Allstate, working in an Allstate state agency, but representing Alaska National Consumers, then they wouldn't have to tell me about the Allstate breach, the insurance company. But if I'm sitting side by side with somebody doing another representing another company.
They would still have to notify whoever the person or people are in the office.
Correct.
Did represent.
But not those that are not licensed by them.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's helpful. That walks me through some of the technical stuff.
Other questions for Ms. Winghire or Senator Kaufman? Senator Kaufman, please.
Thank you, through the chair. As I want to explain the process on this. This is a technical bill. We had a matrix of conditions and then proposals and then status. We had a spreadsheet on this bill of trying to work through the many intricacies and then how those relate. And so it was quite the project. But anyway, I want to thank Director Winghire for her able assistance through this whole thing. It's been interesting working on something like this.
And just, I asked this before and I'll ask it again because I want to make sure we're clear. This is legislation that's model legislation. Which is the group that has the model provisions that you worked off of?
Mr. Chairman, it's the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, NAIC. I believe this is model 688. And it has been adopted by 23 states. It's the reason we did it was not only because it's probably a good thing to do, but also because the federal government has told states, state-based insurance, that if we did not do something, they would come in.
So it's NAIC, and which is the draft?
I think it's 688, but I will confirm that back to you, sir.
That's fine.
Because we've done a lot of model laws.
And then the second part, just in terms of here we are in April, is there a House companion version of this? And if not, from the Division of Insurance perspective, is this a bill that we should be accelerating to try to get through this session? Or is this something that we need to keep, if we can't quite get it finished this session, getting it done in the next session works pretty well too?
Mr. Chairman, I would appreciate it being done this session. Or this session for sure, and part of that is because I'm always concerned of the federal government coming into Alaska and trying to give us a law that we may not agree with, looking at the size of our state, and you know, we don't have the huge agencies and such that you might have in New York or Texas. There is a House companion. Representative Stapp is carrying it. It passed out of House Labor and Commerce and is now headed to House Judiciary earlier this week.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you very much. Any other questions from Ms. Winghire or for the bill sponsor?
Just want to say again, thank you to everyone who worked on this, the industry folks that we had online as we were working through the details of right sizing and trying to tailor this to Alaska.
And I'll just, as one who has over the period of my work in the legislature, I think I've carried two or three different model acts. It's really important work. It's very detailed. It's in the weeds, and it doesn't have great things you can say, but it's super important. So I appreciate the work you're doing on this.
And I will confirm the model number to you, sir.
It's what?
I will confirm which model number it is.
Thank you. All right. We will hold Senate Bill 134 for further review. Oh, that's right. Senator Keel, could I have a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Judiciary Committee adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 134 Work order 33 LS0253/R, as in Ruby, as our working document.
Hearing no objections, we will adopt. We have adopted the R version as our working document. And at this time, we're going to hold Senate Bill 134 for further review. And later on the script, I will announce an amendment deadline for it as well. Six, six, eight. Okay. All right. Our next and last order of business today is HJR 3, Concealed Handgun Reciprocity Between States, sponsored by Representative Rauscher. This is the... What's that? No, I will do it. It's at the end of the script. We have a schedule. We don't want to get off schedule on the script. sponsored by Representative Rauscher, this is the third hearing of the resolution in the Senate Judiciary Committee. There is a proposed committee substitute in front of us. Here to provide an explanation of the changes for the committee substitute is the Senate Judiciary Committee aide, Brianna Kakarik. Brianna, if you could please come forward. Again, put yourself on the record and begin the explanation.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Brianna Kakarik, staff to Senator Klayman. this yes for House Joint Resolution 3, version R, makes conforming changes to version S of the resolution. These changes include updating the states currently providing reciprocity for concealed carry permits issued in other states to 20 states, including the state of Alaska, updating the resolution to address the 118th Congress, and updating the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives to Mike Johnson. Thank you.
Any questions about the changes? These are all largely conforming changes. And seeing no questions, Senator Keel, could I have a motion to adopt the CS as our working document?
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Judiciary Committee adopt Senate CS for CS for House Joint Resolution Number 3 Judiciary, Work Order 33 LS0159/R, as in Ruby, as our working document.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the committee adopts the committee substitute to House Joint Resolution 3 as our working document. And before I look to the will of the committee with regard to this resolution, I will look to the sponsor's office to see if the sponsor's office has any closing comments. Sponsor's office is here, but no closing comments. Any further questions from the committee? Hearing and seeing none, Senator Keel, could I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Judiciary Committee report, Senate CS, for CS for House Joint Resolution Number 3 Judiciary, 33LS0159R, from committee with individual recommendations, and I object to that motion.
So hearing an objection, if the clerk could
briefly to my...
Absolutely, opinion. Please. I'm sorry.
Not at all.
Of course. I appreciate the request
it's
to speak.
Not the usual process, but... Mr. Chairman, this resolution is too problematic for me to support moving forward in any way. This is really counter to what the Alaska legislature tends to stand for. This is a resolution asking the federal government to come in and supersede our laws, and not just to supersede our laws with federal laws, but to let the legislatures of other states supersede our laws. And I won't go back through what we talked about in previous hearings on the bill, but this, when you read the piece of federal legislation, this calls on Congress to pass. It says any other state can lower their standards for who can carry, and if it passes, Alaska will have to accept those. And that flies in the face of states' rights generally. It flies in the face of Alaska's constitution and placing the legislative power for these issues with the Alaska state legislature, not with Montana, not with Texas, Wyoming. I think it's important to note, potentially poses some threats to our public safety. We have laws about where you can carry concealed in Alaska for some important public safety reasons. Alcohol and firearms don't mix. I can't tell you how many times I've taught that in hunter ed classes. But there are states where you can carry concealed in a bar. And, you know, we went over in the previous hearings about how this resolution calls on Congress to pass a bill that only puts in certain carve-outs, and carrying concealed in bars isn't one of them. And so, Mr. Chairman, I firmly recommend that the members vote no on HJR 3.
Thank you very much. I will ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Senator Diesel is absent. Senator Kaufman?
Yes.
Senator Keel?
No.
Senator Tobin is not present. Senator Klayman?
Yes.
2-1.
So by a vote of 2-1, House Joint Resolution 3 moves from committee. Please stay behind after we adjourn to sign the paperwork. And then getting back to the amendment deadline, Senator Kaufman, you were asking about if you're considering offering an amendment to Senate Bill 134, Insurance Data Security Information Security Programs, sponsored by Senator Kaufman's office. Please let our office know and submit them electronically by 5 p.m. on Thursday, April 11th. We will adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is on Monday, April 8th at 1:30 p.m. And with that, we stand adjourned. The time is 1:55 p.m.